What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents White Caps, Three Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Just talking about a crazy match in the Champions League. Yes, Man City are out and Real Madrid won. What a surprise. What a surprise. Real Madrid move on. You know, at some point they'll win it again, probably this year, and then another three or four times next decade. Just what they do, isn't it? Anyway, this is Whitecaps. Three questions. Asa Raymond's here. Hey, Asa.
Hey, how you doing, Charms? There you are. It's been good. Great action.
Craig Forrest, he's here.
What a match.
Yeah, what a match. Yes. But we'll talk about that perhaps more on Footy Prime later this week. But the Whitecaps coming off. Oh, boy. 3-1 loss to LA Galaxy, Asa. And, you know, the best team in Canada.
Matches, right?
The best team in Canada, you know, apparently. And now Montreal taking the mantle right now. Right. Up against Seattle in Seattle this weekend. Let me ask you this. The Whitecaps rivalry power rankings, you know, like, Who is the biggest rival? Portland, Seattle? Is it Toronto? Where does Montreal, you know, fall into the mix? Where would you say the rivalries for Vancouver sit?
That's a good question. I was talking about this one last week, I think ahead of the TFC match. And I think TFC's kind of up there. There's definitely that Canadian rivalry. But going back, like historically speaking, it has to be Seattle. Just the proximity down the I-5. Both going back 50 years now. So there's a long history between the two clubs, pre-MLS era as well. You have to believe that that Seattle rivalry, one that we're previewing this weekend, we'll get a look at this weekend in Seattle, is the biggest one. You get so many traveling supporters. I think that really adds to it. I know anytime Seattle comes to Vancouver, you see the fans, not just at the game, but around the city leading up to the game as well. So I think that adds to it. And then you've had some great matches over the years, some great goals as well. Eric Hasley, I remember scoring at Seattle. Like, they're just these moments that kind of add a little bit of spice to these games. So, yeah, they have to feel that Seattle's the biggest rival for the Vancouver Whitecaps. But right now, you know, the opposite ends of the conference. So maybe not as tightly contested, but leading into this game as well. I know it's still early in the week when we heard from Vanni Sartini talking about it, taking questions from media. They're really, not taking Seattle lightly, understanding that this is a derby and it's going to be a tight one. It's going to be tightly contested regardless of where Seattle is in the standings and what they've done so far. This is going to be a tight game.
I remember going down there. I showed how old I am, but it was what inspired me really to get into the game was going down to the old Kingdome when the Seattle Sounders were playing, and even going back, Joe Corgan was playing for the Seattle Sounders. I mean, wow, that's awful long time ago.
Yeah.
Ian Bridger.
And that's amazing. That inspired you to play, watching them play on that carpet laid on concrete, essentially. And you're like, yes, I want to do this for a living.
In goal, diving on that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Diving on cement.
Yeah, that's right. And then coming back at Empire Stadium, because that was just an absolute beauty as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Leaving skin on there.
USL, NASL days right, along with... Here's some trivia for you, actually. I wonder if Craig would get this, some trivia. It's not that difficult, really. But who is the former Whitecaps player and coach who would eventually settle in Seattle as a manager and then a broadcaster? Really well-known player. Back in the 70s, this month.
Really?
Alan Hinton?
Oh, yes, yeah, Craig, yeah, yes. Still there. Yeah, he's still there, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he must be.
He's still living in the area, yeah.
Wow. He played for Wolves and Nottingham Forest, Derby County, before moving to North America. Legend.
Yeah,
Alan Hinton, yeah. Good job there.
I remember also during a game, I think Alan Hinton was the Seattle Sounder coach, and Willie Johnson mooned him, right, like just dropped his trousers and showed his ass right to Alan Hinton on the bench.
Well, Willie Johnson was a character, hey? Would have been fun to play with him.
Amazing. Remember that? And then where was it? I want to say San Jose when he had the pint. He had a drink before he took the corner kick, whipped it in, and they scored.
Was it NESL?
Amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, NESL. Okay. Yeah.
Willie Johnson. Well, I mean, they still see it in Vancouver. Is it the Willie Johnson corner?
That's right. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, decorated well. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great video if you haven't had a chance to see that one, Charms. It's a fun one. Yeah, basically, so that's something out of like WWE. It's like Stone Cold Steve Austin grabbing a pint, throwing it back, whipping it in, scoring a goal.
Yeah, it was just sitting on the edge, and the fan, I guess, kind of offered it. I'm not sure he offered it, or he just took it, and he just was placing the ball down and grabbed it. Had a good old chug, whipped it in, scored.
That's great. Brilliant.
That's different from the stuff that you were handed, Craig, in your playing days, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, stuff that you these days, really you don't know
any of that.
Yeah, you don't want to get roofied, especially you. Well, actually, you know what? I wish I got roofied in Man United.
Maybe you were. That might explain it.
Right.
That's
if I didn't remember that the next day, that would have been a great thing.
That's right.
Would you say you've been showered with more beer or more urine as a goalkeeper, Craig, over the years?
Ooh, good one. And I'm not sure. the Brits love throwing stuff, but when it came to beer... Well, for a long period of time, they weren't allowed to drink in the stands either. Mm. Right. So they would just be absolutely shit-faced around the corner before they showed up to the game, before they threw everything else at you. Yeah. I've had a dart thrown at me that didn't miss me by much. I've had 50p pieces. Those are pretty big, that's quite a bit of money, so you don't get a lot of them thrown at you. But they carry a lot of clout at 50p piece.
Yeah.
So if you get hit with that, you're getting opened up.
Yeah, yeah. Right. You're winging that at someone. It's got the straighted edge, right?
Yeah.
Around there. Yeah.
It's got some weight to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Still, nothing beats the bags of urine, let's be honest, which you've talked about many, many times. I'm sure there's beer in that as well, in fairness.
That's right.
So anyway, to the Whitecaps, now three questions. All right, let's start with, I guess, the biggest concern right now for Vancouver, given that Fafa Picot went off injured with back spasms. What's the latest on him, Asa?
Yeah, so I was trying to get an update just on what it was like initially. So because we've had back spasms, right? We're of the age where we've all experienced back spasms.
Not, so I was not trying to figure out,
like, is that, yeah, exactly. Is that like our back spasms? And kind of essentially kind of twisted as he's pushing off on the turf, and that's what led to it. As far as his availability going forward, he's out for the match against Seattle this weekend, so still bothering him enough. The club isn't too concerned with it being a long-term lingering issue, so hopefully he returns quickly, but will miss this game against Seattle, and the Whitecaps will miss him. I think we saw it in that match itself, that a plan in place. He's been such a big part of the attack on one of the wings going forward, a great outlet for them in the attack in transition as well, and he had to leave 15 minutes into that game. It's heartbreaking. It was tough to watch him kind of leave that game early. And then the Whitecaps kind of struggled in that game against the Galaxy to get some consistent attack going. So it's a tough blow for the Vancouver Whitecaps. But even when he came off and then they kind of adjusted, Pedro Vite came in, you looked at the 11 and it still looked like a strong 11. Like they moved Ali Ahmed a little bit further up the park. Moved him out wide or shifted out wide. And then you had Pedro Vite slotting inside. So you just move some pieces around and it still looked like a strong 11. So I think they'll feel pretty good about the team going into Seattle here, but it is something that they miss in the attack. He's meant so much to the team, created so many opportunities for them already. Scores himself, scoring with these fantastic headers, getting on the end of crosses. So they're going to miss him. They're going to miss him in the 18, but still enough on paper to field a good squad against Seattle. And honestly, get a result. They've been great on the road, picking up two wins already away from home. So they'll like to get another 3 points in Seattle.
From a team's point of view, how did you get the sense of what they thought after that LA game? They came off a couple of good, really good results and performances. Are they obviously disappointed, but how badly disappointed? How badly are they hurt going into the Seattle game?
Yeah, I think it was tough, right? And Vanni Sertini in the post game alluded to the fact that it was heartbreaking, just a gut punch. Tough to see them kind of work so hard to set themselves up for success in this game, play very tight defensively, which is what they've done for most of this season. That's why I think they travel well, because defensively, when they're set up, they're hard to break down. Unfortunately, in transition, they get exposed and stretched a little bit, and that's where those goals for the LA Galaxy came. For me, from a commentator standpoint and knowing what I knew going into this game, and Vanny even talked about it, they had a plan in place. Just going back to Fafa Pico for a moment, they had a plan in place for this match against LA to essentially overload one side with Ali and Fafa on the same side. I thought that we were the only ones privy to this information, but then he mentioned in the pregame show, he mentioned in postgame as well, that it was very clear that they wanted to attack one side and overload with Fafa and Ali on one side. And we never got to see that kind of play out. So he downplayed the fact that they missed Fafa in that game and it didn't change too much. But at the same time, you had this plan in place. It's like having a special date with a special someone, and you have it all set up for it to be outside at this fancy restaurant, and then it's gray and pouring as it usually is, or sometimes is in Vancouver. And then you know, it's not all lost. You're still at the fancy restaurant, but you're not sitting out on the deck with a gorgeous view anymore. So you kind of scramble a little bit. You make it work. You hope you can still get it over the line at the end of it, but it wasn't what you planned out in your head going into it.
You end up like Gene Wilder and the Lady in Red in the back of the car.
That's
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that.
You don't remember?
No.
He thought he was going to see the Lady in Red, who is, I can't remember the actress's name, beautiful actress, and then it turned out to be somebody else from the office that was connecting with him during the movie. And
Okay.
Yeah, so he bailed out.
So is Vanny Gene Wilder or is Ali
Gene
Wilder?
Yeah, who's who in this scenario, Craig?
Yeah.
Because Ali didn't get his combination in the end, but it was Vanny's idea to start with.
Yeah, then he jumped in the back of the car and she looked in the window and he pretended to have a heart attack.
That's what Fafa needed to do in this.
Fafa is really the woman in red in this case, right?
Yes, he was just absent. Missing,
yeah,
I guess,
right,
the whole scenario.
Right. Yeah. Just trying to, yeah. All these are some pretty crazy metaphors. You know, we've got this dinner thing, and we've got this old movie thing. I'm a little bit confused right now, but
yeah.
I like it. Good effort. Do you think will it be Ali, though, again in the same position? Do you think filling in for Fafa in that position this weekend?
Similar. They may change what they want to do going forward, and that's something that Danny will do. The attacking game plan does depend on the opposition. Defensively, they set up the same way pretty much every week against every opponent. 3-4-3 is how they want to line up defensively. But on the offensive side of things, there's some moving parts in the way they like to play. The formation might switch a little bit. And that's why, yeah, last week the little tinker was having Fafa and Ali on the same side. So it's not necessarily a like for like with Ali coming in for Fafa. It could be a completely different look. And not sure exactly how they're going to approach this one just yet. But that's something that, yeah, Ali or Vanny and his coaching staff look at. When they look at the opposition, they try to find ways that they can kind of exploit and create some opportunities for themselves.
Now, we've been speaking a lot this season about the depth in Vancouver and being a real strength. And this allows that, right? Allows it, as much as you don't want to lose Fafa Picot, who's been fantastic so far. There is options now, certainly behind there. Where would you say the club is deepest?
I'd say on the wings, they've got some depth. They've got, yes, especially with Sam coming in, playing the second half there. So Sam was one they were kind of waiting on to get back to full speed. I think he's pretty much there now to start a match. So wouldn't be surprised to see him start a match. They've got Ryan Raposo, who every time he's on the pitch looks like he belongs in the starting 11 as well. Ali can play out wide. They've moved Schopp out wide as well. So on the outsides and sort of that that wingback role, I think they've created some depth for themselves. They have depth in a lot of positions, but I think there's just so many different ways to play for a lot of these players. Ryan Gault's different from Fafa Pico, obviously. Brian White, different from Damir Krylak, Ali Ahmed. They all add something a little bit different. Schopp, Vite, everyone's unique. And then no one can do exactly what Kubas does as well. So I think they have a lot of pretty good quality. But when you go back to Fafa Pico, there's no clear like-for-like for him that and kind of does everything that he's able to do. But there's enough quality to field a solid 11. And I think they've got a few decent options off the bench. Sebastian Bearhalter, we haven't seen a whole lot of this season as well. He's a quality player as well for them. And then in the back, they added depth as well. So I'm really not answering your question at all, Sharms. They're deep everywhere.
So deep everywhere, deep. Yeah. Maybe they are.
But I think the question with this is the depth really gets tested when they move, when they lose those key players. And I think Fafa is one of them. Brian White's another one. Ryan Gault, Kubas. So those key players where you can put another person in that position, they don't do exactly the same thing. So I guess that's where it comes down to what Vanny kind of dials up and the way he can kind of work to each player's strengths.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, the transfer deadline is April 23rd, so 6 days away from the time of recording. Do you anticipate much action at Vancouver?
So, I did ask about this, and they generally, at this stage, open everything, open for business, obviously, just look into any sort of opportunity that might present itself. I don't know if they'll make anything in the next week here. I think they have that open DP spot as well. That is something that they'll probably address in the summer. But a lot goes into that. I think that the LA Galaxy game also showed that when you look on the other side of the pitch and you see so much quality there in Payne Steele, Ricky Pouge, you start to wonder, how much can a player like that obviously add to this group? It's been so strong, very good this season, but there's another level and it'd be nice to get another piece in, especially when you look down the stretch and you feel like you are an MLS Cup contender. It'd be good to get a little bit more quality on the pitch. Not they're lacking a whole lot, but there were times in that game where you just had to kind of tip your hat to LA Galaxy and say, if they've got some quality guys on the other side of the pitch and probably one of the best attacking teams in the league.
Do you generally think that they would wait to the summertime if they were going to make a move at this point?
I think so, because I think that there's a lot that goes into a decision like this, like really understanding where the need is, what the fit is. And I don't know if that's so clear at this moment.
Right.
They look really good. We'll see how they do in these next two games away from home. When they're set up defensively, they're hard to break down. So where is that genuine need, or where is the person, where can they kind of slot in? And then injuries can play into it as well. And we saw last year with Sergio Cordova just not being the best fit. And then Brian White becoming Brian White and this piece that you just can't take off of the starting 11. So I think that maybe learning from that experience, understanding that, let's see how the rest of this, these next few months play out, then we can have a better understanding of what our need might be.
But the fact is, this is a team that most observers believe could be a contender for MLS Cup. Really good team, deep. You got an empty DP spot. You owe it to your fans to address that and to improve somewhere, right? Surely.
I think the fans obviously would want it. They've wanted it. But at the same time, I think the fans also saw, what happened with the Cordova situation last year. So you want the DP position filled, but you really want it to be the right one because it's tricky to deal with if it isn't a good fit, right? So I think the fans will obviously be also be patient with that and understand that they want the right player coming in as well. And I think there's a lot of trust in what the Whitecaps have done so far with the players that they have brought in and what they're putting out on the pitch as well. So from a fan standpoint, I'd like to see that DP spot filled, but some patience as well to just ensure that the team gets the right one, because if they do, I think, nail that one, then they are seriously contender. I think they already are sort of in the conversation to actually compete for MLS Cup from what we've seen so far, but still early in the season, relatively healthy so far. Schedule's been kind to them. Like a lot's been going the Whitecaps' way so far. It's going to get a lot tougher here down the stretch and through the summer months as well. And that's when I think they'll probably make their decision as to which direction they want to go.
Hey, yeah, there really is no guarantee when you bring in a DP. And we've seen some, well, look at Toronto SC. What are they batting 500 on DPs? So you can do really well with them, but they can also break you as well, not only financially, yeah, but they can break your dressing room apart. And when you've got a tight unit, you got to be very careful with that. But then on the other hand, Sharms, I'm with you on the fact where eventually you got to be able to take a chance. Right. So when do they actually dip and when do they actually take a chance on what they need? But Asa brings up a very good point. And, you know, they don't exactly know what they need because it's a pretty well balanced group at the moment.
Yeah. Well, another thing I've thought about in that regard is that, yeah, you're right. At some point, you're going to have to get a ticket on this thing and just kind of see what happens and give the fans something to get excited about as well and see if this can push you over the line. But you never know how that's going to work out. And you're right. You don't want to, mess things up in the dressing room. For the most part right now, I think the dressing room is really strong. So I think that helps as well. I think if they were to bring somebody in, they'll understand what's going on here. The team is pretty strong. They have a strong core that they've kept together for 3 years now, basically the Vanni Sartini era. That group has stayed together, and that's something that the Whitecaps haven't really had. There's been a lot of chopping and changing from season to season up until sort of Vanni Sartini's established this core. And I think that goes a long way as well in just kind of keeping everybody together, keeping everyone focused and not allowing someone coming in to kind of disrupt things.
Okay, Craig, take me into a professional room, all right? So you have a team that's a good team, that's close to something, becoming something. As a player, you want to see better players come in still, don't you? Even though they might be replacing your mate or changing things up, you always want to have a better quality player. Do you not? I mean, it's...
Well, yeah, you always hope that your mate can play alongside of them. And you're not right. Either one. Yeah. But, you like to see quality. And generally, I mean, I was playing with teams that when we moved into the Premier League, if you're bringing in somebody that can knock balls in the back of the net, that was generally one you're pretty excited about. And, I've said it before, it's the toughest part of the business to put the ball in the back of the net. The ones that can do it regularly are the ones that find their ways to the best leagues in the world, and the ones that are trusted by white coaches, like, you know, guys like Brian White. I mean, Vancouver, here's a guy that consistently gives you one goal every three games at least, and you know you're going to get that from him every single season. It's very consistent from that type of player, and you might even do better with him from time to time.
That's our third question, Brian White. Like, he seems to me to be extremely underrated. Whenever I see the guy play, he scored a beautiful goal on the weekend. Why is he underrated?
Yeah, I think because he's not your typical striker. I think his personality is kind of this way as well. He's like a head down, do your work type of striker as opposed to lights, camera, action striker, which is how so many of them are, right? He's even talking to him this season, when it comes to like players scoring, because I think the first seven goal scorers are different goal scorers, and he loved it. He loved that everybody's getting involved in the action. Wasn't at all concerned with him not being kind of a golden boot leader at the beginning of the season. So I think that his attitude says a lot about who he is and why he isn't getting more attention, James. Like, you watch him play, he does all the hard work, which is why he gets these chances as well. He kind of nicks it off a defender, gets in the way of a goalkeeper, creates these opportunities for himself. It's a little unorthodox, if you will, but he just keeps going, keeps grinding. He's so fit. And even when he misses, you know, the head doesn't dip too far down. He kind of gets on himself, but he gets going. Like, he had a couple that he probably should have finished in this game against the LA Galaxy before he scored that goal. So he just keeps creating opportunities for himself. And I think that's probably why he doesn't get more attention. He just isn't really demanded on himself, but the Whitecaps don't care. He's been a delight. Mm-hmm. His chemistry, his connection with Ryan Gold is incredible. The first half, they were essentially outplayed by LA Galaxy, came into BC place, dictated play for the first little bit. And then it was Ryan Gold in transition, this kind of put one over the top. And Brian White took it beautifully and then just slotted it wide the far post. And he just kind of created this out of nothing between Ryan Gold and Brian White. And that's kind of the chemistry they've built over the last few years. And it's been fun to watch those two in particular. But the rest of the team is kind of bought into the type of player that Brian White is. And that's why going back to, bringing in a DP, it's hard to get one that would potentially kind of take that role. So you'd have to find something else. And I had this chat with Colin Miller, actually, after last game, like off the record, just Colin Miller and I chatting about if we were to kind of, you know, find a piece, where would you put it? And that's a fun conversation as well, because you're right. Mm-hmm. You've got so many players. Like, you don't want to pull Brian White out. You don't want to take Ryan Gold off. Kubas's got that spot solidified. So, you know, that's the fun conversation to have.
But there's always a better player, though, right?
There's always a better player. 100%.
No matter how good they are.
That's right. Erling Haaland is like, okay, sorry, Brian White. Everything we said was fine and dandy.
I think City might take Brian White today, actually.
Right.
To be honest with you. But I'm glad you mentioned that, because when I look at Vancouver, there is no flash on this team. And I like that. That's good. They're all hard workers, right? I think calling them blue collar types is denigrating them a little bit too much. They're obviously highly skilled footballers.
Yeah,
but there's no flash, right? And compared to other teams we could mention with lots of flash, but no substance. There's a shitload of substance on Vancouver.
No, it's true. And that's been Vanni Sartini's mantra from the beginning, is that...
He's the flash.
That's right. He is the flash. That's right. The team is the focus, and that's the focal point, and that's kind of what drives this group. Which is why he gets frustrated after that game against the LA Galaxy, because he felt that the team was doing what it needed to do defensively for the first 80 or so minutes, and then it was in transition the last kind of two goals that got away from him. Even the first goal for LA Galaxy was off a mistake. He's like, we can deal with that. But for the most part, they're tough to break down defensively. And that's kind of how they want to be set up, which is why I think, and I mentioned this before, I guess they travel so well, because they feel like they can be difficult to break down defensively, and they have just so much going forward in transition.
They might not be flashy, Charms, but they do have moments of flair.
Yeah, yes, that's just it.
Exactly.
They really do.
Listen, Ali Ahmed's got potential for a lot of flair, right?
That's the one, right? I was just going to say it. Ali's the one. Like, he gets you up off your seat once he touches the ball. He goes at people. He's very direct. So they have.
But he seems so down to earth, though, right? He's so down to earth. He's got the flash on the pitch with his boots, but he hasn't got that big time Charlie persona off the pitch.
That's right. Yeah. We chatted with him, and he's a good, honest guy. So, that must be, I guess, something that they look for, obviously, and is important to the club.
Speaking of big time Charlies, are you and Colin on the road this week, or are you calling from a booth?
You know, we're calling from the booth. We're avoiding that Seattle crowd and Seattle traffic and calling from the booth. Yeah.
I don't blame you at all. That's this weekend. Vancouver looking to keep pressure on those top teams in the West, but still they're in touching distance despite the loss last week. This has been Three Questions for the Whitecaps. So we have TFC out there as well, and Montreal. Check us out on wearefootyprime.com. Subscribe and like our YouTube channel. All that stuff, it all helps. And it allows us to do more of these kind of shows. So, Asa, thank you so much, mate. Craig, thank you as always. We'll see you next week.
Cheers, boys.
Bye.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Great job, boys. That's great.
Good fun. These are fun.
They are fun. They're a ton of fun.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime, the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/Footy Prime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show. Oh,